welcome back. This is Chris, and this is the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the highly guarded secrets of what it takes to be successful in all areas of your life, in business, in real estate, personal development, fitness. And today I have a phenomenal guest that I'm just so excited to have on the line. I've actually coached and worked with this individual one-on-one, and his name is Mr. Gabe Strom. And Gabe is really cool. I've kind of got a little nickname for him that he doesn't know. I like to call him the Strominator because he is your social media Terminator. He's phenomenal at all different backgrounds within social media. And he's a co-founder of a multiple different companies. He actually started out with a company that started on marketing strategies to small businesses to help them increase their online reach through all of the mediums of Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, blogging, Ustream. Then he paired up with some other brilliant minds, and he's a co-founder of the Free Blog Factory, which is exactly what it sounds, where it's a powerful website that teaches entrepreneurs, actually they implement and create a blog with multiple different designs on the back end, gets it all set up for them within 24 hours where they can get out and start blogging immediately. So it's a phenomenal tool. He's also created over a dozen different info products, and one of those products, which is the Underground Traffic School, is a product that I went through and worked individually with Gabe. He's also a co-founder of Social Spin, which is a company that focuses, again, in the social media marketing industry, where they worked with celebrities, speakers, one-on-one with entrepreneurs and huge organizations. And he's actually working now directly with this partner where they've created a couple more info products, and he's created a product that is a social media plugin that gets over 329% increase to your blog without doing anything. And he actually has created now products in the software industry and the outsourcing industry. So without further ado, I welcome Mr. Gabe Strom to the call. Welcome, Gabe. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. Thank you for that generous introduction.
Absolutely. I'm just so excited to have you on here because you have spent most of your background and who you work with all within the social media space. And it's really cool to see all the different products that you work with. And one of the areas I'd like to start with, what got you into internet marketing and social media?
Yeah, well, I've always been passionate about digital media. You know, growing up at the top of the Gen Y generation, I noticed there was a gap between what was happening in the media space and some of the trends that were evolving. This was really back even early in 2008 when I first started noticing some of these things. And the whole was that most small business owners they didn't have the time, they didn't have the knowledge or the simple systems to take advantage of some of these trends. So, I've always, one of my God-given passions is to take things and clean them up and make them simple and easy to understand and digest. So I really enjoyed taking some of these spaces and some of these trends and helping working with small business owners to make it easy for them to capitalize and grow their business and get more sales. So it was really born out of, originally a need for myself as a business owner. And I was always looking for better ways to get leads, and not just leads, but more qualified leads that knew who I was, that had already experienced a little bit of what we do and were coming to you. And so, I started off in a direct sales space where you are literally chasing leads down in that world. You call 100 leads, and if you can get one or three to sign up, you're doing good. And I knew there had to be a better way. And getting into social media in a later video, and now digital marketing as a whole that evolves. Social media is not the be-all to end-all for everybody's business. It's a piece of the marketing mix. But I just love this. I'm passionate about this digital space, and it kind of grew out of a need for our own business. So.
That's fantastic. And, that seems to be the best way to help people, too, because you've been through all of it. You've been through the struggles. You've been through the frustrations. And you can be like, okay, I know how to do it. Let me show you. And you kind of hold their hand and take them through the process. So I think that's phenomenal. How did you master the online marketing process? Where did you start specifically?
How do you master online marketing? That's a good question. I think I'm still working on mastering online marketing. One thing I would say when you're starting off, though, and this is what I walk any client that I work with, I've got a specific process called the backwards blueprint. And I think before you start getting all excited about sexy media and talking about Facebook or pay-per-click or whatever, any kind of marketing medium, I think it's always important to start with who is your ideal average perfect client. And once we have an idea of who this person is, and it's a little more detailed than just who is this person, write them on a piece of paper. You really want to get clear on, what age are they, what demographics, what are they like, what's their biggest problem right now. Mm-hmm. And if you can start with that framework and really dive into what is the biggest challenge of your ideal perfect prospect and how can you help them, That's really the place that you want to start to look at. Okay, now if we understand who this person is, let's go find out where they're at and where they, what their internet patterns are like. You know, a lot of businesses that we do marketing in, social media is not the best fit for them. And I think there's a lot of social media experts out there who think that social media is the fix for everything, and I would totally disagree with that. So depending on what your business is, it may or may not be a good fit, but getting clear on who that perfect customer is, where are they at, and then now let's go find them. You know, if you're in a B2B, for example, I just got a call earlier this week from a group that wants to do some consulting, and they're purely in the B2B space. And so, you know, for them, a Twitter strategy is not going to be as effective as a LinkedIn strategy, for example. So getting clear on who that person is and then building a marketing mix around that, I believe, is the key to really not wasting your time, which is the can be the downside to social media. I think a lot of people get sucked into that trap. So
that's phenomenal. And so, you know, really you're saying specific strategies in social media are for specific types of businesses. So just knowing where your client is and really just taking the time to think about it and then go with those right strategies. So when you, if you were to start over today and, you know, create your list from scratch, I mean, this is kind of one of the ideas that you started one of your products on. What would you do today as an information marketer?
That is a great question, Chris. I am so glad you asked that question. I love asking that question when I do interviews too, because I believe there's a common theme that we can pay attention to. Success leaves clues. I'll make this really simple. If you are, you know, listening to this podcast and you're paying attention to the show to get tips from experts, the simplest model, and Chris and I were just talking about this before we jumped on this interview, that has worked from day one and still works today like crazy is webinars. So if I were starting over from scratch today, I had no list, I had no product. In fact, I have a training that's called that for that very reason. I would start with webinars. And I wouldn't the strategy, the very simple strategy that I would employ is I would buy traffic, probably Facebook traffic if I was just starting off, into a webinar registration page. I would have a webinar probably 5 days to 7 days out. I would build for it with paid traffic, and I would have a virtual event. I mean, the things that have always been successful for us and have brought in heaps of clients is anytime we are live in front of a room, so any kind of public speaking engagements, always been ultra successful. And the best alternative to that live experience that you can duplicate on the internet is having some kind of an event. And I say webinars, if you really want to kind of a baby step between that, you could easily do a teleseminar, which is about the same thing minus the visual elements. But the reason those work, and if you, you know, I think a lot of internet marketers complicate this internet marketing game, and they try and sell you this product and this product, and it causes a real disservice to our community, because I think a lot of people are confused and overwhelmed. And if you really boil it down, event-based marketing works better than probably anything else because of the mere psychology that people know, okay, there's a webinar going on, I'm going to learn X amount, it's going to benefit me, and your prospect enters that environment in a captive state. If they're just watching your videos, they come across your blog, you know, most people are in that surfing mentality, that internet surfing, and they're probably not going to stick around, you're probably not going to get their attention, and if you can't keep their attention long enough to prove why your products and services will help them and prove why the value is there for them to purchase them, they're not going to buy and you're not going to have a business. So one of the best combats that we've found, and again, I'm peeling back the curtain of, you know, what's worked for us from day one, webinars built our first 1,000-person list. We used them to make our first 70 grand our first year that we were selling digital products online using this exact strategy. And today when we release new products, we do the same thing again. So, you know, if you wonder, a lot of people that are doing them, it's because they work. So that's what I would suggest starting off, and it'll help you to really dial in your sales message, and you can get real-time feedback. One of the strategies, I'll give you another little tip. This is probably my best advice if you're starting off on these webinars or you don't have a product yet or you don't have a list, is most people do it backwards. Most people say, okay, I don't have a product. I don't have anything to sell, so I'm going to go spend a month, 3 months. I've seen people spend 6 months. I've consulted with clients who've been sitting on an idea for over a year, and they haven't created the product. And so the mistake is don't make the product first. That's the mistake that I think a lot of people get sucked in, spend all your time. You don't even know if it's going to sell yet. Before you make that product, make a webinar presentation. And we've actually got a formula that draws this out in my webinar launchpad product that we've worked on for this year. Make the webinar presentation. Do the webinar. If you sell product, then go deliver the training. Only at that point that you make sales, you know the idea that you had in your mind, You've proved it in real life. You get real-time feedback. This isn't a survey you're sending out. It's people pulling out their credit card, saying, voting with their money, saying, yes, I like your idea. I will invest in that. I want to be a part of this. And then as soon as you have that first batch of customers, you can go in and deliver that. And the delivery secret for your product, believe it or not, is webinars. So if you're just getting started and you don't have a product, you could easily deliver those over, you know, it could be a four-part follow-up training. We've done six-week trainings, eight-week trainings, depending on the price point. But that'll be your base. And from that, then, you can go back in, and there's a refining process. Now that you've proven the market, you've made money, kind of got that under your belt, you've overcome that first hurdle, your mindset will shift a little bit. You'll start believing, hey, this is possible. I could see how I could, you know, make more money. You'll start running numbers in your head. Okay, how many webinars do I have to do to quit my job, that kind of stuff. And at that point, you can go back in and refine your product and really make a rock star quality product that you can rely on for years. But that that would be that's a big tip. I wish someone would have told me that when I started. It saved me a bunch of hours from studying the gurus courses. But nonetheless, here we are. So.
Yeah, well, we go through our learning curves, that's for sure. But that is just phenomenal advice, because I've done that too, where I went the wrong way, and it works when you test the market first, and then you build it, because you've already got people that are so excited about it. So that's just phenomenal advice, Gabe. So, you know, you have a product that I went through, and it's called the Backwards Blueprint. And that's how you, because this is kind of leading into helping people with that webinar idea, is how do you help them figure out what their strategy should be or what they should do their webinar about. So can you tell us more about what you do with your clients with the Backwards Blueprint?
Yeah, this is a coaching process that I believe was divinely inspired, and I've worked with several mentors in my life, and kind of I got pieces from each one of them. And one of the things that I found, I really enjoy coaching, and if you don't coach now, I'd recommend doing it just for the personal growth alone that you'll receive from your clients. But most people that you'll work with, you know, they a lot of people want the same things. They want more time freedom. They want more money in their business. But I found that those tend to be the flower of the results, for example. And right. To produce that flower, there has to be some kind of a stem of the plant, and there has to be roots in the ground. There has to be nutrients and water and all these things that happen, photosynthesis behind the scenes, to produce that fruit, that plant that people want. Well, you know, in this analogy, we'll call it money or success or whatever it is. So most people have never really dove down deep to ask those questions and find out what's the root underneath the skin of what's going on in their subconscious mind, their life, what's going on with their belief systems. All those things have a kind of a natural governing power over the results that we get in life. So the Backwards Blueprint is a coaching process that, like I said, after working with coaches for many, many, many years, I refined this as a tool to help people get clear. Not just on what their passion is and what the shortest path from A to B. What we'll say, if they want to raise their income from $5,000 to $10,000 a month is a pretty common goal for a lot of entrepreneurs getting started. And we take a look deeper and say, what's going on beneath that? And, you know, in the long run, when we look back on your success, what's going to make you happy? And if you can align your passions, your gifts, and your talents all in one area and love what you do, you'll be 10 times more successful than if you're just chasing that flower result of the money by itself. So my goal and the purpose of that coaching process, it's a specific process and questions that we go through, is to help people get clear on their passion and their purpose, so they're not just building a business and 5 years from now they say, what the hell, where am I at now? I'm not any closer to my dream. Maybe I'm even making more money, and I've worked with people who have achieved that goal and they've been resistant to the process early on, and we help them make more money, and they're still not fulfilled and still not happy and still not building the business of their dreams, leaving a legacy, things like that. So the Backwards Blueprint, it lays the foundation for all of that, and I walk all of my beginning clients through that process, so we have that on file, and they can refer back to that. And then from that framework, we can really build a business designed around their lifestyle, not just around that one-dimensional piece, which is what most people want, which is more freedom and money. So.
Right, and that is just amazing advice, because a lot of times I think we hear with the information market space when we're trying to find, you know, the so-called mentors, but they're gurus, it's all about the money, and it's really kind of that backwards thinking, and what you talked about is finding that happiness and what truly makes you happy, because that's the whole point of being able to create a business for yourself, to have leveraged time and income. So that's outstanding. So if you, with all the strategies that you've done and you've learned, and you focused on. You talked about webinars as a way to build your list, but what do you think the biggest mistake has been that you've made through internet marketing that you can kind of teach the listeners?
Oh, good question, Chris. I can tell you've been practicing these questions.
I want to know all the answers.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to your show yesterday before hopping on here, listening to your interview with Tony a little bit too, so enjoyed
great.
This.
Good.
Biggest mistake, I would say biggest mistake probably comes, two things are coming to mind. The first thing that comes to mind is picking the right business partners. I've started and failed at dozens and dozens and dozens of business. We've had lots of success stories, but we've had probably three times as many, if not more, probably more failures that people don't know about. And one of the things that I've learned from having lots of different partners, I started my first business when I was, I believe, 20. I was a sophomore in college. Is finding a partner that complements you. And I think a lot of times people, at least in my early days as an entrepreneur, I would go into business with my friends and I would say, oh, we have an exciting idea, and we would get all high on our idea and all excited about the idea and say, oh, we're going to make all this money. And we would live in this fantasy world, but we didn't really have any way to contribute to each other. So any kind of a partnership, and I would recommend having partners. I mean, you know, if you're in business for yourself, a partner can really help and stimulate and take you farther than you can go by yourself. You know, waking up in the morning, going into your home office or even your regular office, if you don't have that, you know, that sounding board to keep you accountable, move you forward, it can be challenging, and you'll procrastinate, typically, what I found, at least from my experience. So, but a partnership is a marriage. It's a business marriage. And so a lot of people don't realize that going into it. And I've had successful partnerships, and I've had a lot of failed partnerships. So finding that right partner that complements you, and the best way to explain that, if you are a, you know, passionate, outgoing person, you know, kind of that sales business development type person, you probably need a structured planning, executing type partner. You know, for example, my current partner, I've partnered up with a brilliant tech marketer. His name is Bill Crosby for our software company. And in our partnership now, we've got a real clean relationship. Bill manages all the programming, all the development, all the implementation of all the ideas. We've got two software that we've built so far. My responsibility is the marketing, the sales, the creating of the message, which is my passion and things that come natural to me. And it's a real great fit. We kind of pick up where the other person leaves off, just like in a successful marriage. So, you know, that's my first tip, is to be, you know, weary of cautious of who you go into business with. It can, you know, I've had businesses where we spent years building together and come to find out, you know, you learn secrets about your partners that just don't don't jive with you, and things just don't work out. So that'd be my first big tip. My second biggest mistake that I've made is I've thought about things too long. So as an entrepreneur, we have a lot of ideas, and I guess the remedy for this mistake is to take action quickly on your ideas. I've had a ton of ideas that I've sat on. I've wondered, is this a good idea? You know, and I've thought about it and really spent a lot of time getting ready to get ready. That's been a big mistake, especially early on. I've gotten better at this moving forward. But that's why I suggest, if you've got an idea, don't think about it. Don't wonder if there's a need for it. You know, do some market research, but at some point you got to stop the research and take action and see if there's actually a need. And that's why, you're tying me back into the advice I gave earlier of what would I do if I would start over. That's why I suggest creating a sales presentation, creating a webinar or a teleseminar, and testing your idea out. You could literally, if you have an idea, I've got a 7-day plan. You can literally have your idea out to market 1 week from today if you would just follow a simple process and see if there's the market for it, see if people will buy it. If they do, great. If they don't, you can move on. And that's the closure that I think a lot of people sometimes need. There's a lot of most ideas are bad ideas, unfortunately.
Right.
Most ideas won't work. And the problem that I made is I would spend too much time in the research mode, the thinking mode, the analysis paralysis mode, and really the better approach is to take action on that, prove that it works. You know, that's why I suggest spend a couple $100 on some pay-per-click marketing into a webinar, you know, see if it's profitable for you. If it is, great. You can refine it and continue and move on. If it's not, you can bury it and move on to some of your other ideas that maybe are a little more profitable for you. So those are the two things that came up, you know, finding the right partners and not thinking about things rather than taking action on them quicker. You know, our first getting into this space, Chris, the reason I'm giving this advice, I spent my first year just buying info products, studying trainings, I had a journal full of ideas, and at the end of that first year, I had made no money, and I had no results. I had no list. I had, you know, nothing had happened, but I just had all this head knowledge stuff. And if I would have just taken one idea, maybe one training that I went through, actually applied it, got some real-world results, it would have put me ahead of where I was at the end of that year. So that's, you know, and I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs that struggle with that. So just know that you're worth it, and, you know, your ideas have value, you have value, and the only way that you're going to be able to find and get that real-world validation to kind of get you over some of those mental blocks that you may be going through is to test it, implement it, and get some feedback from the world.
That is just phenomenal advice, Gabe, just because I know, I mean, I run into entrepreneurs all the time, and a lot of my coaching clients, the same thing. They've spent literally tens of thousands of dollars, and I'm guilty myself of spending all that money not moving forward and then being like, oh, you know, and that's when people quit or they get so frustrated they don't know where to go to next. And you had said something that, and maybe I don't know about this, but you said you have a seven-day process to help somebody test the marketplace, because I think people have ideas, but they're not sure. Okay, Gabe, that's great advice, but now how do I do that? So do you have a product that kind of helps put that all together for people?
Yeah, this is one of the new products that we're working on this year. It's a product called the Webinar Launchpad. And the intention behind the product, we've kind of shifted our approach from all of our trainings, and this is something else I'll kind of let you on the inside. You know, we've created a ton of programs over the past couple of years, and we've really focused this year. My goal for 2012 and moving forward is really short results-based trainings, really short results-based products. So everything that we're doing this year, it's not about the amount of information you give people. It's about the result that you can help them achieve. So, you know, for example, our social traffic plugin, which is at socialtrafficplugin.com, is a really simple, inexpensive tool. It's $97 right now. And basically what this plugin does is it helps entrepreneurs and businesses get more traffic from social media by automatically sharing blog posts at custom times of day. There's a lot of customization within the software. So that's one example. It's a really inexpensive product. It's $97, and I overcome one of the biggest challenges people have, which is they want to do social media marketing, but they don't have the time. So we built a software, a little plugin that will basically sit there like a virtual assistant, only you don't have to pay them every week. It'll automatically promote for you. So the Webinar Launchpad product, to get back to your question, though, is a results-based product that's basically a culmination of our last 3 years of testing and refining this webinar process. And we mentioned, it was how we launched our first business. It's the model that we used to make our first 70 grand on the internet our first year, the model we used to build the first 1,000-person email list, and it's the model that we used to go on and launch multiple products and services. So I took a look back and went through my journal and broke this down into an 8-step process of exactly what I do when I launch a new product via webinar, and I can do this in about 7 days. We've got this down to about a science. You know, if you want to drag it out, you could do it up to 14 days if you wanted to give yourself a little leeway. But I'm the kind of person that, you know, if I can't see the whole picture and the whole path, I'll get lost and confused in the details. So I really created this originally, this 8-step process for myself, so that if we had a new product that we wanted to release, I could literally go down the checklist, and I had a to-do list of A to Z to launch this new product, everything from designing the webinar to the technology that I need to set up to the copy that I need to put for the emails and the autoresponder, et cetera.
Oh, wow.
And I put it into a checklist. And when I did that, I thought, wow, this would probably be pretty valuable for other people who, you know, want to release a new product. They're confused. They've maybe bought a product launch product, and they think that they got to go through and make all these videos and do all this stuff. And you really don't have to starting off. So I kind of assimilated the information of what works down into a real simple starting plan that you can use to launch your product or service or bring in extra sales this month or whatever you want to do. And then from that framework, you can build on that and do better videos and, you know, maybe go out and do a bigger launch or set up an evergreen model.
Right.
But that was the inspiration behind it. It was, you know, really, again, a product that was born out of a need that I had that I thought, wow, what other people could benefit from something like this? And so this is something that we've been working on for this year, for our clients as well. And I've taught it to a handful of clients. We'll be putting it into a kind of a formal training here soon. But
that's exciting. Yeah, that's so cool because, you know, a lot of it, and there's a lot of people, gurus out there. And, you know, and some of them have really, really good success, but it's such an inundated process of phenomenal videos and a huge process. And I love how you just say, you know, you don't need that to start. Let's just start building your list. And, you guys have phenomenal success. They're doing webinars, getting over 800 people on your list and selling over $70,000 in products. that's a great way to start. And then you've kind of worked out all your kinks, too, on what works and what doesn't work in your program, and then you can do the big product launches. So I think that's just phenomenal advice. So I'm really excited to hear more about that product when that comes out. So I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit more in the social media space. So what do you see the trends as becoming here in the social media marketplace?
Good question, Chris. A couple of things are coming down the pipe that I don't see a lot of people talking about. And here we are doing this interview, early quarter one of 2012, if you're listening to this later. A couple trends. One is I pay attention to what a lot of the big name companies' websites do. So Google's one of those naturally, one of the fastest growing companies in the world. This past year, over 2011, they changed their algorithm a couple different times with a couple different updates. One of those was the Panda update. I had a more update more recently. And what Google is doing is from an overall traffic perspective, and I'm going to talk a little bit about SEO here as one of the kind of the trends that's changing. But in traditional, search engine optimization, you've got to have the right keywords on your website. You got to do some off-page. You've got to link to your articles if you know anything about SEO and some of the basics. All that still applies. But Google has added let me distill this even more. The world of search engine optimization, of people naturally finding your website, which accounts to tons and tons of traffic on the internet, is two pieces in the past. It was on-page optimization, which is, like I mentioned, having the right keywords, the meta tags, having all the pieces of content on your website or your blog or your video or article or whatever you're promoting consistent with the keywords you're targeting, and then your off-page is the second piece, having people linking to you, having the right quality of links coming to you, and the internet's a big popularity game in that sense. All that still applies, but one of the shifts that we've seen with Google recently, and this is this past year, so this is relatively new, is they're starting to factor and weigh more heavily into that algorithm, which nobody really knows what the Google algorithm is. It's this top secret formula. That's Google's proprietary technology. We're starting to see that they're weighing more heavily the social presence. So if we have two blogs back-to-back, one's optimized the exact same as blog B, they both have the same amount of backlinks, they're exactly the same, but blog A has a bunch of social engagement, it has all their social media profiles, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, all branded with those keywords, all linking back to that website or blog, and they have comments and engagement on that website. Those comments and engagement will help that website or blog to rank higher than their competitor because they have that social factor. So that's one of the things that we've seen changing this year, is that social media is no longer just about the conversation, but it has value beyond that, in that, this is one of the ways that Google is saying, hey, is this a real website? Are real people finding value here? That's the business that Google is in, is providing relevant content. And one of the ways that, as marketers, there's a lot of ways to cheat the system. So you could, you can put the right keywords in, you can spam, you can buy a bunch of links. And Google knows that. But one thing you can't fake is, what do other people say about you? What's your reputation in social media? And so that's one of the factors. You'll start to see this more and more 2012 and moving forward, that social media has value above and beyond just the social connection of what's happening. So that's one of the trends, and this may or may not be new news for you if you study that, but pay attention to that. Pay attention to anytime Google makes a new update, take time, go to their blog, read about that, and learn how that might affect that. The second trend, we actually just did a webinar on this on Thursday night with one of my original clients as well, and that is a shift that we're seeing in the video space. And so one of the things, and if I could give you advice, depending on when you are listening to this recording, is video game is changing. It's changing rapidly. And to give you a real quick history, I think it'll help you to see the future if you can see the past and some of the trends that have happened till now. Back in 2006, a little company called Google bought a little company called YouTube. Okay, so this was kind of the beginning of what I'll call the official video revolution. And it wasn't until 2004, 2005, online video wasn't a lot of it. The video quality was low. It was, we didn't have the bandwidth. The technology wasn't quite there to host videos. The streaming technology wasn't quite there. Over the course of 2005, 2006, a lot of that changed. Google saw the trends. They bought up YouTube. Now, fast forward, 2012, Google has become the number two search engine in the world. It's the number two website behind Google, where people go to search for information. I could There's tons of stats out there. Video traffic has exploded as of now, beginning of 2012. Over 51% of all online traffic is rich media or video-based. And keep in mind, a lot of that traffic's from the YouTube sensation. There's a lot of viral videos, so it's not all qualified traffic. But moving forward, one of the trends that I see, and I'm gonna give you kind of a bold idea and make a bold prediction on this interview today. So if you're listening to this, you can kind of look back and you can critique me if I was right or wrong in this prediction. One of the things that we're seeing happening in a couple of years from now, I believe that we're going to start seeing our televisions that people purchase are going to start coming with internet browsers built into them. And we're going to start seeing people watching more and more rich media content, videos, for example, on their home television. Now, the reason I'm predicting this right now, I could go into my living room. We have a PlayStation 3 hooked up to our TV. So I have some very basic capabilities. If I have friends over and I want to show them some YouTube videos, I can do that on the big screen. So this is the beginning of that trend. In the future, we're not going to have a PS3 to do that. Here's the big idea, though, is that right now there currently exists this multi-billion dollar industry called our advertising industry, and people will spend multi-million dollars to put a commercial on the Super Bowl. In the future, and the trend that I'm predicting is that the internet media, and that we consume on mobile phones now, that we consume on our computers, we're watching videos, that's going to migrate to the big screen, to the television, when new TVs that come out, and maybe this will be at the end of this year, maybe it'll be in a couple of years when TVs will start having this capability. Once that happens, Google is behind the scenes right now working on a product called Google TV, and that's going to change the entire game. Obviously, Google, being one of the fastest growing companies, they want to keep their hands in the profits, in where the advertisers are spending, and right now they can't capitalize on that TV demographic. So as video, online video is exploding, and you can go look up stats for yourself on how fast this is growing. There's so much video being uploaded to YouTube every minute. It's probably the best, and the reason I like webinars so much is it's a form of video. It's the best, the most rich form of communication with somebody. It's the next best thing to face-to-face because they can feel your passion, they can see your face, they can trust you. You know, you develop that bond at a deeper level that you can't with any other media. You can't do that with articles. You can't do that, you know, with different things. So the trend that's happening is video is exploding. We're going to start seeing more of this go on TV, and eventually Google's going to allow advertisers like us to be able to advertise in that medium, you know, with click-to-call actions and things like that. So one of the trends just pay attention to is video. You know, a lot of experts are calling this the biggest boom since the dot-com boom. If you look at mobile phones and mobile consumption where it is today, you know, we're currently right in the middle of the mobile boom. So there's an intersection that's going to happen between the internet, video, mobile, and eventually with TV, it's going to combine into one form of media. Who knows what that's going to look like? But if you're not in the video game now, I would recommend looking at how you can be in the video game and how you can use that to build the business. So that's kind of a pretty forward-thinking idea, I think, for where we're at in the internet right now. So if you're listening to this, you might think I'm crazy, and that's fine. I can live with that. But I will challenge you to pay attention to video, do some research for yourself, and if you're not currently doing video in your business, I can tell you that moving forward, the businesses that don't jump ahead of this, that don't brand themselves with rich media, are going to get left behind by those that do. And it's a simple fact, if anything else doesn't convince you, the average American watches 4 hours of TV per day. So our kids, this generation, and even baby boomers, we're programmed to our core subconscious mind to receive information via video. And your customers and prospects expect that. You know, now it's somewhat a luxury still for them to learn about you via that medium. In the future, if you don't communicate that message, if you're not fun and entertaining, and if you don't make the spoon feed them the information via video, they're going to get bored and they're going to move on. And that's just the attention span mindset that we're living in now. And you've got to adapt to that microwave mentality, and video is one of the best ways to do that. So those are two big trends. Social media, that's how social media is changing. You know, we saw a big change. We saw the Twitter growth. We've been a part of multiple these. We predicted a lot of these trends in the past. We've had Twitter products and things like that. Right now, that's my big two predictions, video, and also that social media is not just about the social relationships, but it plays a bigger impact with your SEO and all of your online marketing kind of as a whole. So,
Wow, that is just phenomenal insight. I mean, and that makes so much sense, too, with what you're talking about with Google. And I mean, that's pretty much probably why you created that social plugin, too, is you base all of your products off of what's working now and what really are the trends. So that's just, thank you for sharing that. That's such huge insight for myself as well as, you know, the listeners on the call here. And so I'd like to just kind of jump into here before we end the call what you're doing now a lot with outsourcing, too, because you have software systems and an outsourcing team that you help entrepreneurs kind of manage all of this.
Yeah, well, you know, as an entrepreneur, there's in myself, again, all of our products and services are typically born out of needs we have. And, you know, we've all got 24 hours in a day, and I was always fascinated with how come some people, and I would be friends with guys, or I'd meet guys at masterminds and networking group or powerful women that are doing amazing things. They're getting so much accomplished, and it made me think, how can I get more done and be more productive, you know, with the time that God gave me on this earth? And so, you know, if you haven't realized this yet, you know, having a team will help you to accomplish that. And we live in an era now where you can, whether it's graphic design, whether it's, you know, typically there's some little projects that maybe are on your plate right now that have been sitting there for probably a couple months. Maybe it's redoing your blog. Maybe it's some basic SEO. And because of technology these days, the world has become smaller. We live in a kind of a one-plane world now, and it's really easy to work with and hire virtual employees all across the world. It's a lot more affordable for the average entrepreneur. You don't have to, you know, hiring an employee doesn't have to be a $30,000 or $40,000 entry-level job. It can be $2 to $4 a month, $2 to $4 an hour to find that right kind of person. So we have put together, again, in light of an inspiration of a need that we have, a recruiting service for entrepreneurs, and we've launched it at mysecretemployee.com is the original entry page for that. And basically what we're doing, and I had a lot of clients who were coming to me privately saying, hey, Gabe, how are you guys getting so much done? How do you release so many products? You know, how do you get so much software development done? And I said, well, we've got a team that's doing it for us. I don't do the work. And that was revolutionary for a lot of my clients. Wow, you know, really opened up the eyes. Oh, you're not a superhuman. I'm like, no, I'm a regular guy just like you. I know how to inspire people around me to be their best. And so we had a lot of clients asking us, hey, can you help me build a virtual team? I've got a project. Oh, I need a part-time person for 20 hours a week just to do some basic, you know, social media management so I can free up my time from that. And I've always been passionate about helping people to be more free. I mean, that's kind of the core of all of our products and services. And so we put together, originally it was just a, kind of a private only. We had clients coming in saying, hey, can you help us source? And so we have a general manager in the Philippines, actually on the ground that lives in the Philippines, that we do all of our sourcing, recruiting, kind of from the inside out. And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to help you out. I mean, you know, finding a quality person, we have found to find, you know, one really good, even a part-time person, we would typically have to source through pretty much a minimum of 20 to 30 applicants. Sometimes it's gone 50, 60 above. I mean, there's just like anything in life, you've got a lot of riffraff. You've got to sort through that to find the diamonds in the rough. And I knew that a lot of entrepreneurs didn't have time. So for $349, we'll spend our part-time week. We've got about a 7-day turnaround, 7 to 14-day turnaround, depending on what the project is. We can go find you a part-time or full-time person, and I'll have basically our general manager do all the work. And at the end of this process, we'll sort through all the applicants. We'll do Skype interviews with our top five. And at the end of that process, we'll turn over our top three qualified candidates based on some criteria that you would give us. I've got a kind of a getting started onboarding sheet that you would fill out. So we know exactly what you're looking for. And then we'll turn over our top three for you to begin working with on either a project or some kind of a test trial period. If it doesn't work out with the first one, you've got two backups to go to, so you won't be left out in the cold. And then, you know, you've got the beginnings of the virtual staff. So my secret employee was, again, it wasn't something that I woke up one day and said, man, I want to start an outsourcing company. It's just a service that we had in-house, you know, our team that was building our projects, and I had clients coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, can we borrow them? And I thought, well, this is the resource that we have. We might as well turn this into a revenue stream for us as well. So that is the, I guess, kind of the big picture of the My Secret Employee process.
That's really a great process to have to be able to go through all that work to do it. Because a lot of times you get into, and I've struggled with this too, getting into that space, finding that outsourcing. You spend all the time trying to find the person to do it for you. So it even makes it a bigger task. So that's just ingenious. I love it. So, Gabe, you know, where can we find out more about you?
Good question. If you'd like to be a part of future trainings, you can go to whoisgabestrom.com and subscribe. My main blog is gabestrom.com. That's connected to all my other social media sites. I'm pretty easy to find, so those are probably the two best ways.
Perfect. Well, Gabe, thank you so much for coming on the call. You just provided so much incredible value and insight, and I love your tips for the future, which we always want to hear about. So, again, thanks for coming on the call. And, again, this is Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the highly guarded secrets of what it takes to be successful in all areas of your life to help you make a faster transition in the entrepreneurial world. And, again, if you want to find more about Gabe, head over to chrisgilbertson.com. We'll have a full profile on him with all of his websites and everything that he's working on. And, again, you guys go out and make it a great day.